preach to everybody today. And I want God to speak to me, to speak to us, and certainly He will. Why don't you stand in honor of the Word of the Lord? Turn in your Bibles, or if you don't have a Bible, they'll help us on the screens behind me. Acts 9. And we're kind of coming into the middle of a great and famous account of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul, then it became Paul, and it was dramatic, not only how God saved him, converted him, but then how God used him. That was awesome. And I think it's important to note that he was quite a religious man, certainly had a great faith in God, but God had more for him. And if I could say it this way, God had a destiny for Saul that involved changing him completely so that he could be mightily used of the Lord. So we're picking up on the story with a man that God used to reach him, Acts 9 and verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. He's certainly not as famous as the Apostle Paul, but he was the one that God used to reach Saul, who became Paul. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. Wow. I just believe that God could work in the lives of each of us that are willing in such a way that he could help us see someone that he wants us to reach so that they can discover the destiny that God has for them. Amen. And then, of course, I think there are people here today that even though you may have a deep relationship with the Lord, maybe God wants to reassure you or perhaps even connect you with the destiny that he has for you that is supernatural. And so, again, my apologies to Joey. I want to preach. Joey has a divine destiny. Joey has a divine... Thank you, gentlemen, for helping me out. Thank you, Joey, for forgiving me in advance. I'm having a little fun here, but I'm certain that God has a destiny for that precious man and for every one of us. Let's ask the Lord to reveal his will to us today. Would you pray with me with great passion? And those of you that are filled with the Holy Ghost, would you pray in the Spirit that God would reveal himself to everyone that is here today? Let's pray together right now in Jesus' say in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I tried to take some time last Sunday, and I believe the Lord really did minister to us, but I really pray that each of us that are a part of the body of Christ, and I know many that call this church your home, that certainly includes you, but I don't want to limit or restrict it just to our church family here. If you are serving the Lord, if you are truly a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, somewhere in the process of you serving the Lord, it should become obvious that you have a divine destiny. And part of your divine destiny is to be used of God to help others discover their divine destiny. And I want to say this, I think it will be very helpful just to make a couple of points in this regard. Sometimes a good destiny can be less than a great destiny. In other words, I know, for instance, someone made mention to the Olympics, and I'm USA, USA. I'm not preaching against the Olympics, but I do want you to know those are men and women that are convinced that they have a destiny. And yet I think we should understand that their destiny or that pursuit of a destiny is really limited to this life. And when this life is over, all of the accolades and all of the awards and all of the efforts that's been expended, it will be like a vapor as it relates to eternity. And so as that relates to us, we can acknowledge that maybe some of us have not put in all the energy and all the effort to go for the gold, perhaps in our education or in our career or in other pursuits. But surely there are many of us that know what it's like to get up early and go to bed late and pursue a destiny for ourselves and for our family. And all of that is good. All of that has its place. And thank God for a church full of people that are doing their best to be successful and to be a blessing in society and to the church. But let me tell you, if your destiny is just limited to this life, you may have settled for something good instead of something great. That's a hard thing to swallow. I don't want to stress you out, but I'm not preaching this to make you feel, you know, stressed out. I'm preaching this so you could believe that God has chosen you. He selected you out of this mass of humanity. Yeah, you can have a great career. You can have a great family. You can have all kinds of other great things that you pursue and purpose. That's part of your destiny. But why not have an eternal destiny? Why not have a divine destiny? Why not believe that God can use you to impact others so that they can see what God's will is for them? Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is speaking, and he says in verse 24 to his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." He goes on to say, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" You can be incredibly successful in business and have a walk with God that is deep and a walk with God that influences others. But if all you are is successful in business, but you haven't tapped in to your divine destiny, you have wasted your life. You can be incredibly successful in education and strive for goals and be an example of excellence. But if you strive for educational goals, but not for eternal goals, what has profited you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? That's what Jesus is saying. So it's in that context that I just remind us as a church family, you have a divine destiny. And one of the clearest ways to connect or to make sure or to verify or to hold yourself accountable to the destiny that God has for you that is bigger than this life and it touches the life that is to come is to make sure that somewhere in your life you have carved out time and space, not just to get yourself saved, but to be serving God on a level that other people can be saved because of your prayers, because of your efforts, because of your life. Amen. That's why we spent time last week talking about Andrew and how he was not near as famous as the Apostle Peter, but when he saw the Lord, something got a hold of him that said, "I've got to find my brother and I've got to bring him to Jesus." and the rest is history. Peter was mightily used of God. He discovered a divine destiny, but it was because Andrew tapped in to a life that was bigger than himself, to a purpose that was bigger than his own plans, his own comforts, his own desires, his own dreams. I gotta find my brother, and I gotta bring him to Jesus. And sure enough, Peter was mightily used of God. That's why we've read about Ananias today, because this famous apostle Paul could never have been the apostle Paul if Ananias did not tap in to his destiny. He had a divine destiny, and that was to reach the apostle Paul before he ever even dreamed that he could be an apostle. In fact, Saul was persecuting the church, and Saul was rounding up Christians or believers and putting them in prison. Saul was the one that saw a revelation of God as he's walking towards Damascus, traveling on his way to persecute more believers, and he sees a light shining from heaven. That light impacts his life. He falls to the ground, blinded by the light, and he hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice says, "I am Jesus." That was a shock to Saul, because he was a religious person that had been taught his whole life that there is only one God. And when he was persecuting believers, it was because he could not imagine that people would worship a man, Christ Jesus, instead of the God Jehovah or Yahweh. But God revealed himself to Saul and said, "Hey, this one true God of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament, and that's the one you're fighting against. That's the one you're attacking when you attack believers." And then he says to Saul, "I want you to go into town and wait for a man by the name of Ananias. He's going to tell you what you need to do to be saved." Meanwhile, Ananias is just praying and serving the Lord. Look again to Acts chapter 9, verse number 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Ananias said, behold, here I am, Lord.' And so the Lord begins to speak to Ananias, and he begins to say, 'I want you to go talk to this Saul. You may have heard about him.' And Ananias says, 'Oh yeah, I heard about him. He's been killing Christians or believers. Are you sure, God, that you want me to go to talk to him? I thought I was one of your disciples. I thought we were on the same team, and it looks like you're sending me to my grave.'" And look what happens in Acts 9 again, verse number 15. "But the Lord said unto him, 'Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and to the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" Think about that. God already had a destiny for that man who would become the great apostle Paul. But he had to convince a certain disciple, "Hey, I know you think this is the last guy that would ever give his life to me. I know you think this is the last guy that would become a preacher or become someone that God would use to reach people that you'll never reach. But Ananias, because I know you're a disciple, and because I know you've been in prayer, and because I know when you hear my voice, you will obey, I'm sending sending you to that very man that everybody's afraid of, because that's the man I want to bless. That's the man I want to use. That's the man I'm going to take and reveal to him a divine destiny. Amen. How crazy is it that Joey would be a part of a family and his own sister would marry a guy like me? I mean, Joey never signed up for that. All them Karetches are normal folk. They're fun to hang out with. He's a part of a great family, but then his sister goes and marries some crazy preacher. And years pass, and they develop a friendship, and they have a connection. And everywhere that Joey shows up, that preacher preaches right to Joey. I'm talking not just at Heaven View, but we've done this across state lines. I'm not saying he's a groupie or nothing like that, but he just happens to show up a lot of places where I show up, and I just change my message to preach to Joey. I've done it every time. Every time he just keeps coming back. Now, you think I'm spiritual. I'd say Joey must be pretty spiritual if he could put up with all of that. And so here he is on this Sunday, and I'm preaching about a guy that nobody knew he was going to be a preacher. Nobody knew that God was going to use him. Now, I hate to get into his personal business, but just the other day I heard Joey was fixing to get a trailer and travel around the country. I'm not making this up. Well, what if God has been ordering Joey's steps because God has a divine destiny for Joey that's not just about sightseeing, that's not just about seeing this great country, but there's something about his personality. If you've been around Joey, he's easy to get to know. He's friendly to everybody. He travels around the world and he just fits into whatever circumstance he's thrown into. And if you get to know him a little bit, you'll find out he really doesn't complain about a whole lot. He just treats everybody like there's a chance they can have some sort of connection. Isn't that just the kind of person that God might want to take out of just a life that could be blessed, out of just a life that could be good? And God could say, wait a minute, Joey has a divine destiny that somewhere all of this preaching and all of his relationship with God and all the times he heard about Jesus when he was just a child, maybe all of that's adding up so that God could say, Joey, I've got a destiny for you. Now, you know enough about the Bible to know that that's exactly how God works. And even though Joey's from New York, and we all know to be worried about those people, they're crazy. But to my knowledge, Joey has never beat up a believer. Joey has never consented to putting believers in prison. Joey has never been one of those that tried to manipulate circumstances so that somebody that loves the Lord could be killed for their faith. In fact, Joey has a faith in God. Joey knows the Lord on a level that's already growing and developing. So I'm just here to tell you that if God would have a destiny for a murderer, for someone that hated Christians, then don't you ever look at Joey or anybody else, or especially yourself, as though, well, I may be a Christian, I may go to church, and who knows, I may even be saved, but that's about it. I don't believe that. I believe God has a divine destiny for Joey, and God has a divine destiny for every single one of us that will say, here am I, Lord, here am I, Lord. If that's you, would you clap your hands and say, God, I want a destiny that is divine, and I want to discover your purpose and your plan.
Amen.
Praise God. So the scripture says that Ananias was a certain disciple. And I don't want to just kind of pull this little thought out of here without letting you know it's really just a little thought I'm pulling out of here. I don't think the Lord and his word calling Ananias a certain disciple means a whole lot more than just he was a certain disciple. But I think it's interesting that in our generation of Christianity, we have dumbed down discipleship until we can all be disciples if we just show up on Sunday. We can all be disciples if we just say, oh, I'm a believer. But what if we would embrace the opportunity to become certain disciples? What if you and I just decide, I am going to reach and strive for a kind of discipleship that may be radical, but it's absolutely biblical. I'm just going to believe, and here's where it's going to take a little bit of faith, that I can walk with God on a level that he can give me a vision of someone that he wants to use me to reach. Now, I feel like in this case, the vision that Ananias received had to be pretty dramatic because God was using him to reach someone that was a known murderer or a known persecutor of Christians. And so I imagine when the scripture says he saw a vision, he literally saw a vision. But when I think of vision and how it's worked in my life, it's just been as simple as me seeing people the way God sees people. Is it possible that you and I can become those certain disciples that when we go to work, we don't just see Joe Blow or John Doe, but somewhere in our prayer life, somewhere in fasting, somewhere in Bible study, as we walk into work, God can show us that's the next Apostle Paul. That's the next Bible study teacher. That's the next soul winner. That's the next elder. That's the next worship leader. That's the next man of God or woman of God. Hey, can we be certain kinds of disciples that God can give us a vision?
All right.
I got a vision that Joey has a divine destiny. I didn't see a light. I didn't see an angel. I didn't hear an audible voice. But every time I see him, I get this feeling there's more from God for Joey. I can't tell you that the earth has ever shook. I can't tell you that God has spoken to me in an audible voice. But there's something about when I pray for Joey. There's something about when I think about Joey. I can see it. I can see it. And maybe Joey cannot see it. But you know what? I'm not getting the vision that Joey has for Joey. I'm getting the vision that Jesus has for Joey.
Amen.
Praise God. There are some brothers and sisters in this congregation that have spent your life loving others, reaching others. There are some great men and women of God in this congregation that have gone out of your way to try to show the love of God to people that need God. Some of you, your efforts make my efforts look so piddly. They look so small. Because anybody can get up on Sunday and preach a message, and I'm not down in preaching. It takes the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But I do want to applaud those of you that have used your life as a platform to share the love of Jesus with people. And I'm just asking you to elevate that level of lifestyle to a place of discipleship where you pray and where you fast until God gives you a vision that that's the one. He's going to use me to reach her. He's going to use me to reach him. And when I reach them, God's going to use them to reach others. And I know that there can be a little bit of a weak amen there. Because when you've worked so hard to love lost people, when you've served so much to reach people that need more of God, and you don't always see Apostle Paul springing up everywhere, that you can lose your confidence, or you can think, well, maybe God might use others, but he won't use me. My brothers and sisters, be not weary in well doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. We are reaching the last of the last days, and if you will carve out a place in prayer that says, God, I want to be the kind of disciple that is so certain that you're a healer, so certain that you're a savior, so certain that you have a destiny for lost people, that when I reach out to someone the next time, it's going to be with a new fire, it's going to be with a new passion, it's going to be with a new confidence that God is helping me fulfill my destiny. Matthew 28 and 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The name of the Father is Jesus, because Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. The name of the Son is Jesus, because the angel spoke of that baby born in Bethlehem and said, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus, because the Bible describes the Holy Ghost as Christ in you, the hope of glory. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If you study church history, you will discover that in the Bible days, the only way that people were baptized is by them going and being immersed in water and people calling on the name of Jesus. And I want you to know, no matter how deep or how rich your religious heritage is, if you have been baptized any other way than the name of Jesus, I am commanded in Scripture to go and teach everybody everywhere and baptize them in the name of the Father, which is Jesus, in the name of the Son, which is Jesus, in the name of the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus. And so I want you to know, you don't have to promise to join this church. You don't have to give a certain amount of money. We may never see you again. But if you want to obey the Bible, today we are ready. The water is right here. The temperature's just right. The robes are in the back, so your own clothes don't have to get wet. But I am commanded in Scripture to let you know that if you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus, today is your day. God has a divine destiny for you, because baptism is not just about being Pentecostal. It's not just about being Catholic. It's not just about being Moravian. It's not just about being Baptist. It's about your divine destiny. It's about you saying, God, if it's in your word, I want it in my life. I want everything. Oh, would you clap your hands if you've ever been baptized in Jesus' name? But one translation of Matthew 28, picking up at verse 18 or 19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples. There are some that now acknowledge that you really cannot be a true disciple without making disciples, without being involved in the process of helping others become disciples. Because this power of God and the Word of God is so incredible that you cannot see your Christian experience as just the sum total of coming to church when it's convenient, or maybe on special occasions, or even once or twice a week. You've got to respond to the Great Commission. You've got to link up with a church and say, come on, together we're going to reach the lost world, and we're not just going to try to get them in our building. We are going to go and make disciples. In other words, if I've got a prayer life, I'm going to bring somebody alongside of me and help them to have a prayer life. If I've I've got a love and a passion for the Word of God, I'm going to bring them alongside of me until they get a love and a passion for the Word of God. If I've got something inside my soul that recognizes that I've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not just in church, but in my lifestyle, I'm going to bring someone alongside of me, and I'm going to be able to gauge my personal discipleship by seeing them become discipled. In fact, I'm going to be able to stay accountable to my divine destiny by being able to see there He is. He's tapping into His divine destiny. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I mentioned to our church family last week, we are trying to take our relationship with God beyond just Sunday being the main event. I'm not trying to minimize the value of Sunday, but I do want to repent and ask you to forgive me if I have created a culture as a church that living for Jesus is about coming on Sunday and watching the show, watching everybody worship, watching everybody pray, watching people pray for each other. If I have created that kind of understanding that being a Christian is just that alone, then I have failed you, and I ask you to forgive me. If somehow I have convinced anybody in this building that your discipleship is connected with the fact that you have a position or a title or a ministry that's just limited to what happens in this building, I ask you to forgive me, because discipleship is about making disciples. Discipleship is about catching a vision for somebody that needs God, not just so they can sit on a pew once a week and watch you do what you do. Oh no, you've got to catch a vision that if I reach that man, or if I reach that woman, if I reach that young person, or if I reach that elderly person, it's not just so they can come to my church and watch me minister. God forbid. It's because God has a divine destiny for them, and my divine destiny is to help them tap in to their divine destiny. Come on, Heaven View. God is challenging us as a church to get our church out of just Wednesday, out of just Sunday, and out of just us four and no more. I want to be a disciple that makes disciples. I want to have a destiny that helps somebody else find their destiny. Amen. Wonder if you would raise your hands with me right now and say, Jesus, help me to catch a vision. Help me to see someone in my world that is someone that you have a destiny for, and help me to reach them. In Jesus' name. My brothers and sisters, we are not just winning souls. You know, when you talk about winning, after you win, the game is over. We're not just winning souls. It's not over when they repent. It's not over when they're baptized in Jesus' name. It's not over when they're speaking with other tongues. All of that's part of discipleship. But we are not winning souls. We are discipling people with destinies. And so wherever I am in the body of Christ, I may never step on this platform. I may never preach behind this pulpit. And if I do, thank God that He's chosen to use me that way. But it's not limited to that. I must go and make disciples. And you might say, you know, Pastor, I have prayed and fasted, and I don't know that I can point to a soul in recent history that's in the church. I beg you, don't let that disqualify you from saying, God, I'm going to pray until you let me see somebody that I can help bring along so they can discover their destiny. This message is not for you to feel disqualified or underqualified. This message is for every single one of us to say, I am a disciple, and I'm going to pray until God lets me see at least one person that I can bring alongside of me and love them and serve them and help them until they discover their destiny. Amen. Don't show that picture, but have you got a picture ready for me? I don't know that he's here today. If he is, if he's doing security, I'd love for you to get him and bring him in here. But most of you know Jeff Spangler. As far as I know, he's never preached a message. As far as I know, he doesn't lead a group, but he's faithful right here at Heaven View. Last fall, there were some announcements given. We need some people to join us all the way on the coast of North Carolina. In Richlands, they're building a church. And Brother Spangler said, you know, I don't have a lot of construction experience, but perhaps they just need people to help clean or take away debris or help hold stuff. I just want to be a part of helping to build a church. So he made his way to Richlands. He got involved while he was just helping people. He said, he told me the story about wearing the particular, whatever they would call this, the particular vest, like a construction vest, and they had different colors. He said his vest was the color of those that didn't know anything about construction. He said, so there I am the whole day walking around with my vest that makes it clear I don't know what I'm doing here. He said, but I noticed a guy, and he said, I was drawn to that guy. For some reason, I felt a connection. He said, I'd never seen him before, and as far as I could tell, he didn't know a lot of people that were here or connected with that event. He was just there with the same kind of vest I had on. So I realized he didn't know nothing about what he was doing either. So he said, throughout the day, we would connect. Throughout the day, we would talk. When we had a break or when there was a meal, we would get together. And he said, I found out that even though he was a leader in another church of a denomination that is huge in that part of North Carolina, even though he was heavily involved in his church, he had a hunger in his soul for more of God. He had something in his soul that had been dealing with him. I've got a destiny that is beyond what I've discovered so far. He said, out of that simple day of both of them coming together, because they both wear the vest that proves they don't know nothing about construction, a friendship was formed to the degree that Jeff took his family, and at other occasions, they just drove all the way to the coast to hang out with Rob and his family. Didn't even hardly know them, but there was a connection. There was an opportunity to develop something beyond the routine of just seeing them and see you later. And sure enough, this man Rob started coming to that brand new church. He brought his family. All of them were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Rob was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. So other people got involved in discipling Rob and bringing him along. And they said, in fact, I sent a note to his pastor this week to verify this information. He said it was amazing. Even though Rob didn't know a lot about being apostolic, God had already showed him so many things in his word. So I asked the pastor, well, what's up with Rob right now? He sent me this picture this morning. He said, this is Rob. This morning at 8:45, he was in discipleship class. And guess what? Because he was already a leader in another church, he is already teaching Sunday school at a brand new church. Why? Because God had a destiny for Rob. But it took Jeff Spangler, who's never preached a message, who's never led a life group, who is not an elder or a pastor, but he realized, I can make a disciple. I can reach somebody. Is there anybody that would say, I want a vision. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to wrap this up. But I want you to think of me right now. Think with me right now. Some of you have such a faith in God. Such a consistency of faithfulness to God. I'm almost afraid to ask this because some of you will say, come on, Pastor, not something else. But would you just be willing to pray and commit to one more thing? Lord Jesus, regardless of my position in ministry, my title, my role, I will intensify my praying and add to my fasting just enough to see somebody in my world that you have a destiny for. To see somebody at my job or somebody at my school or somebody in my community that you would show me that my destiny is to help them discover their divine destiny. Are you willing to raise your hands and say, you know what, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do, but me and God are going to, we're going to deal with this in another setting. We're going to pray about this. How many of you would just raise your hand and just commit to something that says, God, I would be open to seeing somebody. I would be open to getting a vision of someone that has a divine destiny, and you would use me to help them discover their destiny. I'm a disciple, Lord. I want to be a disciple maker, Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? Musicians are coming. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle Peter preached at Pentecost. In Acts chapter 3, praying and fasting, he goes to the temple and God uses him to raise up a lame man that had been lame from birth. In Acts chapter 4, he preaches his way into prison and out of prison. He said, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Acts chapter 5, he's so apostolic, he rebukes a man and woman into the grave. I hope I never get that apostolic, but it's in the Bible. In Acts chapter 6, he gives himself to prayer and the word. In Acts chapter 7, we don't read about Peter. Stephen is the one reaching the lost. In Acts chapter 8, the focus is Philip. He's reaching a whole city. And God transports him into the wilderness to disciple one man. At the end of the chapter, Peter shows up. He's involved. Of course, he helped to baptize or pray for those in Samaria that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 9, we've read about Ananias and Saul. Then Peter shows up and he meets a man that had been sick for 8 years. And he's immediately healed. And the healing is so dramatic, that most of the town follows Jesus. In Acts chapter 9, at the end of the chapter, Peter goes to a city I can't even pronounce. And he raises a woman from the dead. And the Bible says many of those people believe on the Lord because of that miracle. In Acts chapter 10, Peter's exhausted. Not only that, he's hungry. And he's got to be thinking, I wish somebody else around here would do something for God. But while he's just sitting there, maybe resting, maybe praying, he gets a vision of a soul that God has a destiny for. You know him as Cornelius. And you know, I think without a vision, Peter would have never went to Cornelius' house. Without a vision, Peter would have said, I'm not teaching another Bible study. God's already using me over here without a vision. But with a vision, an entire household and the whole Gentile community is invited to be a part of the church of the living God. Oh, Heaven View, I want a vision. I want to see somebody the way that God sees them. I want to see somebody the way that God sees them until I become consumed with the reality that my divine destiny is to help them discover their divine destiny. You say in Jesus' name, I'm asking our elders to come and stand in front of you and face this congregation. I'm asking other believers that you are those that help us pray for the sick, pray for those that need miracles. If you'd come and stand beside them, we just want to pray for people that need God right now. I preach my heart to you. I feel like God's spoken through me. I don't say that arrogantly, but I know that I've heard from the Lord today. I could use some ladies to join us that will help us pray. Thank you, thank you. A few more can come. We've got, let's just line this whole area so that anybody that needs God can come and pray. Y'all just hold on just a minute, please. Thank you. If you look at this great group of men and women, I guarantee you, if you are sick or if you have a financial need or if there's anything in your life that you would like help prayer for, I have confidence in these men and women that if you would come in just a moment when everybody comes and let them pray for you, God will give you a miracle today. God will give you a miracle today. In fact, if it's a little bit hard for you to move because of maybe some physical issues, if you want to come now while I'm talking, we want to pray for anybody that needs a miracle. We want to pray for anybody that needs God. You can just come. In fact, everybody stand. It'll make it easier for people to get around, people to move to the front. If you need a miracle, if you need a miracle, please come. Please come. I know it may take a few minutes. I know perhaps you've done it before, but if you need a miracle, please come. Please come. But while others are